Welcome to Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Kaliole Colonna. Now that the state is slowly relaxing the shutdown order, some are considering going back to business as unusual. Yeah, unusual. Things aren't fully reopened, and that means business owners have to come up with innovative ways to sell to their customers, get their employees back, keep the lights on, and keep everyone safe. Today, we hear from restaurant owners and a statewide business incubator, plus Secretary of Workforce Solutions Bill McCamley gets into concerns for workers with pre-existing conditions. And I talked to reporter Catherine Lewin about those PPP loans that plenty of folks struggled to get. All of that later, but first up, executive producer Marisa DeMarco has a news rundown of what we know today, Wednesday, May 27th, as of 5 p.m.
Just about every major news organization, including international outlets, is leading with this. The United States death toll surpassed 100,000 today. It's the highest number of fatalities in the world for any country by far. It's larger than the number of U.S. military combat deaths in every conflict since the Korean War. Public health experts, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, who we've seen at so many White House press briefings, say the death toll is probably much larger than that. Studies are showing how the virus traveled here and that many more lives could have been saved by earlier action on testing and contact tracing, The Times reports. The numbers of new cases and deaths are starting to slope downward in the U.S. As of today, there are more than 1.69 million confirmed cases in the U.S., according to Johns Hopkins University. In New Mexico, officials announced 127 more confirmed cases, making the total 7,252, according to the Santa Fe Reporter. The northwestern corner of the state and Bernalillo County make up the bulk of the new cases. Officials also reported 4 additional deaths, bringing the New Mexico death toll to 329. Yesterday, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham announced that restaurants could offer outdoor service starting today. In Albuquerque, city officials say they'll be permitting sidewalk seating and waiving the fee for outdoor seating applications. The city is also trying to work with businesses to create outdoor seating in parking lots, the Albuquerque Journal reports, and is considering using Civic Plaza or the rail yards for outdoor dining. The governor has said the state is on track to open other industries like gyms and barbershops on Monday, June 1st. There's a press conference about it tomorrow afternoon, and we'll bring you more. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
My next guest is a reporter for the Santa Fe Reporter. I got Catherine Lewin on the line. How are you, Catherine?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, we're making it through. So you covered PPP loans. For the Santa Fe Reporter last week, you had a really great story, and it's a comprehensive look about what's been happening that the government isn't talking about, who got the loans and who didn't. What don't we know about the situation?
At this point, the SBA is not really tracking exactly how many businesses have applied for the program and then how many have been denied. You know, the government also doesn't release exactly who gets the loans. You know, maybe what we don't know is there could be some companies who don't really fit the quote unquote spirit of the law in the program that could be getting the money. So bigger companies that it's not really supposed to be for.
These PPP loans are really unclear in many ways, too, right? I mean, what's uncertain for business owners who may have gotten these loans here in New Mexico?
Right. Well, I spoke with Cowgirl Barbecue here in Santa Fe. It's been around for, I think, 27 years. And the co-owner, Patrick Lamburn, was basically telling me that you're supposed to spend most of it on payroll over an 8-week period, though about a quarter of it can be spent on utilities and rent. And basically, he didn't know, you know, could he spend it on hazard pay? Because it's hazardous to be working in a restaurant and especially to be in those service industries.
Yeah. Did he go into why PPP loans aren't truly ideal for the restaurant industry and hospitality?
He did. Yeah, that was a big part of my story. These PPP loans work better for companies that are actually able to keep working full speed ahead during this time, which restaurants obviously can't, at least here in New Mexico. And, you know, he has to pay people what they were getting paid before. So, you know, in a lot of ways, he is having to pay people who aren't working those hours, you know, having to kind of pay people to sort of stand around or not work.
Now, you spoke with Chevo Serna from the Santa Fe Tree Farm. What problems is he facing?
Right. So I've known Chavo for a while now and interviewed him for other stories. And he owns a Santa Fe tree farm, small business. And he was telling me that he was thinking, you know, this would be good. I'd like to apply for a PPP loan to help keep paying his employees. And he was getting really conflicting information because he is waiting on a U visa, which is for victims of crimes, and he's in the process of it. But obviously, all government workings have been slowed down. So yeah. Who knows when he will actually even get his visa. And so he was getting conflicting information about whether or not he could apply for a PPP loan because he is not a citizen. Even after my reporting, it was hard to get a straight answer from the SBA. First of all, there not being enough information in Spanish, like detailed information, and a lot of, you know, immigrants not having good relationships with local credit unions or their banks. I think a lot of it is mostly about, you know, having a bank and a person at a bank or a credit union that will advocate for you.
Yeah. You reported that Meowwolf got $6.6 million in PPP loans, but still laid off hundreds of employees. Did you ever hear from them about why that happened?
We did get access to, you know, a transcript from a meeting where they basically talked about how, you know, we got the $6.6 million, but we still have to cut these hundreds of jobs because we were heading toward big financial problems even without the pandemic.
Thank you again for being with me. She's Catherine Lewin, a reporter for the Santa Fe Reporter. Check out her story. It's called The Band-Aid Loans. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Opening a restaurant right now seems risky, but that's exactly what Diego Diaz and his father David are doing. Tio David's Peruvian Flavor will open in June in Albuquerque's Knob Hill. KUNM's Megan Cameron caught up with Diego Diaz to find out more.
You know, we were planning on this, you know, way before we even started the whole pandemic situation. We had the loan set up. Everything was already set up. We had already signed the lease. And then we got hit right in the middle. We got hit with the pandemic. So that really, you know, just slowed down our opening date. We were hoping to open around March. Obviously, that was not the case. But now we're hoping to be opening right at the beginning of June.
What led you to want to open a Peruvian restaurant here?
I was born in Peru. I immigrated to this country in 2001. Well, my family ever since, my dad especially, he's been the cook in the family, you know. When we came here, the little thing we had, you know, that really kept us close to home was having our dad cooking for us, and the family enjoyed his cooking. And we were able to share that with, you know, friends that we met here, you know, because we had to pretty much create our own family here in the United States after immigrating from Peru. Now it's a pretty big list of people who have been buying food from him for the last decade or so. So you could almost say that we've been open, but we're just now having our home, finally. So we're really excited to introduce Peruvian food to New Mexico, but in a different way.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
We want to do New Mexican dishes. I'm pretty much half New Mexican myself. I am Peruvian by birth, but I love my green chili. I love my enchiladas. I love my New Mexican food. So we're going to be incorporating New Mexican dishes as well. So now we're going to be doing Peruvian style tacos. We're really excited about introducing. There's a really special potato because, you know, potatoes, a lot of people don't know this, but they actually come from the Andes from Peru.
I'm curious how you're getting some of these ingredients for your dishes because the food supply network chain has been so disrupted in this pandemic.
So we know some local vendors that we're going to be getting some stuff from that do import things from Latin America, and that's how we can get some of our ingredients here in town.
You're about to open just as we anticipate this week that dine-in restaurants are going to be able to reopen, but there's going to be probably quite a number of restrictions on that in terms of how many people will be allowed to eat inside. And they're going to ask restaurants to, you know, basically get contact information for all their customers. So what do you think about that?
I think, honestly, I'm all for it. And my dad being his age, really, we take this seriously. You know, he's high risk than most. We will make sure that everybody that comes in wears their face mask. Everybody in the restaurant will be wearing face masks. Every person, whether they're cooking or they're cleaning, they're all going to be complying with regulation. And I do believe that contact tracing is a huge part of making sure that everybody's healthy is going to be very important for the business industry here in New Mexico and all over the country to really contribute to this. If we really want to stay open, we really got to play our part, and we really got to make sure that we are, you know, keeping the community safe while at the same time staying afloat. It's a very difficult balance, right, that it's been thrown in front of everybody. I guess that's the only thing that we got going in our favor is that we get to start, and we get to start with, you know, the people that know what's happening right from the get-go. We're opening pretty much still in the middle of the pandemic.
Thanks again to KUNM host and reporter Megan Kamrick for this interview. You'll hear more of her reporting about restaurants trying to reopen tomorrow and Friday during All Things Considered and Morning Edition on KUNM. The slow reopening of the economy means a reopening of restaurants. Here to talk with me now is Lauren Green. She and her husband Jason own The Grove Cafe and Market. Lauren, thanks for being with me.
Thank you so much, Khalil. We are happy to be with you.
So let me ask you, restaurants, they usually run a pretty tight profit margin. How does reopening at a partial capacity, how does that feel to you? Does it present any dangers?
You know, it's an incredibly stressful time for the restaurant industry. We are trying to dial in every cost, you know, every minute of labor and run the tightest ship that we've ever attempted to before. It's a real numbers game, and it's certainly not a sustainable model. So we feel very grateful to have the opportunity to give it a try.
Were you all able to shore up any emergency funds during the shutdown?
We sure were. I probably spent the first 5 days when it all started settling in that it was a reality that we were going to have to close temporarily. I applied for the loan through multiple banks to see who would respond. And lo and behold, we had a local bank support it for us. And we're just so happy that we were able to do that.
You all are open on a partial basis with like pickup and curbside service.
Correct.
Has that given you any idea on new business ideas or strategies coming out of that pandemic? Like, for anyone who has not been to The Grove, it is more of an East Coast style place where you counter service, you stand in line. It's always a lot of people in there. That's changed the nature of the business. So how have you all adapted?
Like you said, The Grove is all about the people. It's a community gathering cafe. It's bustling. It's fun. It's loud. So it's a very different model. We took the closure time to come up with an online ordering process. And like you said, a curbside takeout service that has been wonderful to implement. But again, it is not a sustainable model. So though we hope we've reached some new guests that perhaps prefer online ordering and that kind of convenience, but The Grove can't go on too long with this model, which is why we are thrilled to hear about, you know, the soft openings that are available.
Now, do you have any concerns that we may go back into a complete shutdown if numbers spike? What will that do to food investment and your basic business model?
It would be incredibly devastating to the restaurant industry. You know, Jason and I are working so hard to stay positive, but the reality is that we are watching closures all around the country of friends and other professionals that we greatly look up to. And, you know, this is really the long-term effects on the restaurant industry are not going to go away quickly. Yeah. They're going to be here to stay. A second closure this year, I'm not sure how The Grove would fare if that goes on. We've taken every resource at this time to get back in the saddle, so to speak, and to keep it moving. And the amount of effort that has gone into that is just it's crazy to think that how much effort you're putting in to stay afloat. Yeah. So that's a scary notion.
I'll definitely be by in the morning to get my mocha, extra mocha.
We can't wait to see you then.
That's right. She is Lauren Green. She and her husband, Jason, are the owners of The Grove Cafe and Market here in Albuquerque. Lauren, thanks again.
Thanks, Khalil.
This is UNM Government. I'm your host, Khalil Ekolona. We're covering the way the virus and health measures are impacting people differently around the state. Along with the slow reopening of the state, we've shifted our broadcast to 3 days a week. Tune in Wednesday through Friday at 7:30 p.m. here on KUNM, or find every episode anywhere you get your podcasts. And hey, tomorrow, Thursday, May 28th, it's the last day you can request an absentee ballot to vote by mail in Tuesday's primary election. Head to the Secretary of State's website at sos.state.nm.us or call up your county clerk. KUNM's Nash Jones spoke with Burke Bakehouse owner Sarah Ciccatello and Chris Mickery about what it's been like to remain open while orders and safety concerns are still shifting. Here's that interview.
So we spoke back in late March when all the public health restrictions were really new. There's been a lot of back and forth about whether there would be a downtown growers market this year, and that's a primary retail outlet for you. Last I heard, still no market. What has that back and forth felt like, and how does that uncertainty affect your business?
There's been a lot of pivoting. The growers market did start with their farm to car program, and we were participating in it. And even that has changed from week to week. It feels like everyone's trying to figure out what the new guidelines are going to be and how to adhere to them and keep everyone as safe as possible.
Well, last time we talked, you and Sarah, you both called that situation devastating. How is it feeling now?
Maybe we're more accustomed to that feeling, but it has been very challenging financially for our business, but we are hanging in there, and we definitely feel very fortunate to still be operating and to have been able to operate during March and April, and still now, where many operations had to completely shut down. I feel very fortunate that we were able to do that.
I feel like we're always looking at silver linings now. At first, we didn't know what we were going to do because we were completely event-based, but we realized not having a cafe that we invited people into turned into somewhat of a benefit, that we could just focus on working out of the commercial kitchen and dropping pastries right into people's trunks,
right,
which was not a model that we had anticipated
a few months ago. Yeah, so you decided early on in the pandemic to maintain what was an off-season model of Saturday curbside pickups at your commercial kitchen. How has that been going now that you're 2 months in, and can that sustain your business?
It's been going surprisingly well. We are definitely floored by the enthusiasm every week, and it can sustain us temporarily while we're still in this spot. But no, it won't be able to sustain us for a long period of time, especially once we move into our new shop.
Yeah, speaking of your new shop, so right before COVID hit, you were planning on opening up a walk-up shop. And at the start of the pandemic, you said that your contractors didn't have the PPE and the safety equipment that they needed to continue working. Where does that construction of your brick-and-mortar bakery stand right now? And where does the brick-and-mortar fit into your vision of the future for your business?
We are currently in construction, and everything is a go with all of the, I would say, usual construction building hiccups that you have outside of a pandemic. So that's been moving relatively smoothly and I would say normally, which is kind of really lovely.
And in terms of the future, in March, you had to lay off most of your staff, which I'm sure was just so incredibly tough to do. How have you been able to bring any of them back, or do you plan to?
We did, with receiving some of the Paycheck Protection Programming funds and small business grant from the city of Albuquerque. Yeah, and we're doing our best to try to increase hours and give people as much work as we can.
Do you have fears about moving ahead as if everything is going to reopen when the situation with viral spread is still so tenuous?
Yes, I am anticipating that we will just be in a cycle of this kind of opening, closing, or relaxing, retracting. So we're just going to sort of keep with the same way. So we have less pivoting to do, because that's challenging and time-consuming and takes our focus away from what we do best, which is making the breads and pastries.
Well, has the pandemic given you any new business ideas or strategies that you might use in the future?
A lot of our customers that we've met through the market will talk to us about sourcing ingredients to home bake. Now we're thinking of expanding upon that with baking kits.
Yeah, yeast has been a very desirable item lately.
We've been able to keep a pretty good supply chain, so we've had at least some to offer to people every week.
Oh, that's
and
great.
We've sent a lot of our sourdough starter out into the world. So I don't know if you noticed, bread baking at home is a little bit of a thing right
it's
now.
It's a total thing. I feel like everyone has their own sourdough recipe now. There's just bread. We went from like low carb diets being all the rage to now everyone's baking bread.
I love it.
Yeah. Same.
Chris McQuarrie and Sarah Cicatello with the Borque Bakehouse. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
My next guest is the bilingual regional manager for West Business Solutions. That's a business incubator headquartered here in Albuquerque. I'd like to welcome Margarita Guarin to the show. Margarita, thanks for being with me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
In a brief overview, can you tell me about West, what you do for business owners?
Yes, West is a nonprofit organization. It's a statewide organization here in New Mexico. Our mission is to be a home for entrepreneurs. We provide a support system of consulting, training, and lending to help clients successfully strengthen and grow their businesses through sustainable sales, financial knowledge, and job creation. We provide training, lending, consulting, and incubation for anybody who has the passion and the desire to start and grow a business here in New Mexico.
Okay. Now, what types of issues are Spanish-speaking business owners facing right now?
One of the issues is, as you know, many of our Spanish-speaking clients are here and they have started the businesses, but they have IT numbers and they are not eligible to apply for either the PPP or the EIDL. That's been a problem because, you know, they have a business, they comply to all the regulations, but because they only have an IT number, then they cannot apply and take advantage of these programs. There is a question that says, are you a U.S. citizen? And there are two boxes, yes or no. So, yeah, you can fill out the application, you can enter it, but that's going to prevent anybody from accessing these funds. They have the business, they're paying taxes, but that is a big, big hurdle that would prevent them from accessing these funds. So they have to look at other options.
Yeah.
Just to give you an example of, I was just so touched recently when a person who happens to be a teacher, she just called us and she wanted to contribute and donate her stimulus check that she received from the IRS because she felt so compelled to help small businesses that are the backbone of our community here in Albuquerque. You know, it's amazing just to see how we're helping each other.
Tell me about some of the businesses that are thriving right now that you're working with.
I give you an example. One of my clients actually started a business in 2019, and she started it at the rail yard market. She told me that her sales through the online system at the rail yard market were the same as she had been physically present at the yard.
Wow.
So that gives you an example how without even offering face-to-face shopping, the rail yards had the great idea to host an online, you know, pre-order system with a drive-through pickup, and then provide their vendors a way to keep their businesses open.
Yeah. Tell me, where can people go if anyone is a current business owner or thinking about starting a business or has questions? Where can they go to get some help?
They can go to West, WEST.org, and sign up for the trainings or consultation. Right now, we are offering everything free of charge, so they can access many, many trainings that we're offering. We have business finances, which is very important nowadays, you know, to learn your business finances.
Mm-hmm.
We have a training about how to use Facebook, Instagram, how to return safely to work. Great. Actually, this is another way to use the time, you know, to sharpen your skills.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize also that we offer trainings in English and Spanish. All these trainings are available in both languages.
Don't let it stop you. If you need another language, they have you. And it's also, most importantly, free. I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. She's Margarita Guarin. She is with West. She is the bilingual regional manager for West Business Solutions. Thanks again. Will you come on the show in the future to talk about any updates?
Of course, Khalil. It'll be my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're getting back to business in New Mexico, but what if people don't feel safe heading back to their job? I talked to Workforce Solutions Secretary Bill McCamley to find out what employers and workers should know. How you been?
I'm alive.
Yeah.
Every day is a new and wonderful opportunity to grow as a person, and in this case, to help about 1,000 people get their unemployment. So.
Yes. A listener of our show called in with a question. They didn't feel safe going back to work because his immune system is compromised. Just wanted to know the rules around returning to work.
So we have a guidance document that is set up on our website defining kind of responsibilities of employees and employers, right?
Okay.
And if you have one of a series of specific medical conditions that were given to us by the state epidemiologist, mm-hmm. anybody over the age of 65, you're automatically a high-risk category,
okay.
and you can stay on unemployment. If I am asked to return to work and I don't, I need to provide in the legal community what is called good cause.
Mm-hmm.
And normally in regular circumstances, that's, you know, the workplace isn't safe. There's abuse going on. During this situation, we're looking in one of two basic categories. The first is, do I have an underlying health condition that a medical provider is willing to document for me? Or do I live with someone with that medical condition that a medical provider says you're at very high risk, right?
Okay.
These are things like, you know, have I had cancer treatments in the past? Am I considered overly obese? Do I have severe to moderate asthma as a lung condition? And those sorts of things. Or if you can show proof that your employer is not providing hand washing and hand sanitation stuff, not providing masks, not making social distancing a thing. If you're at a grocery store and they're not providing barriers between where the person checking out is, that sort of thing, those are going to be considerations that our judges are going to make in terms of saying, is there a good cause for you to continue to be on unemployment? So our message is that there's responsibilities on both sides here.
I understand. Now, does this create another level of paperwork for you in your office? Do you all have enough staff to make this work?
We're going to find out. The numbers of first-time claims are coming down. We are seeing signs that people are returning to work. So we did see a reduction from 2 weeks ago to last week in the amount of certifications we're getting. So that's the amount of people that are actively participating in the system.
Okay.
That came down by about 3,000 people. So there's a possibility we may have seen at least the first peak in unemployment. Now, the issues we've got are that a lot of the claims that are still being worked are the very complicated ones.
Okay.
And people have had multiple employers. People have been employed in other states, and we have to wait for tax documentation from Texas or Arizona. Or they were in the Department of Defense, and we need wage information from the Army or the Marines or whoever. These are the sorts of things that require people to physically go in and fix, and we're still working through those as fast as we can. But the big burden for us is going to be, we have an appeals process. So if a worker says they're not providing me the right masks, an employer says, screw you, we are, then it goes to a judge. And we have a certain amount of judges, they're max scheduled. And we're starting to see that become an issue. But we're hiring more people. We just did an announcement that we'd like to hire 3 more judges. So we are working on that.
Okay. And finally, the number of people who are unemployed, it's higher than it's ever been in modern times. How's the funding looking right now for unemployment insurance in New Mexico? And how long will that last us?
If the time comes when we run out of money in our unemployment trust fund, we will go and borrow money from the federal government. Where that becomes an issue is there's a chance that could affect tax rates on businesses starting in the next calendar year, because that tax rate is tied to the health of the fund.
Gotcha. I want to thank you again for taking time out of your very busy day to speak with me and to set some people's unemployment issues at ease. Thank you again. He's Secretary of the Department of Workforce Solutions, Bill McCamley. Thanks again.
Thanks, Khalil. Everybody keep your heads up, all right?
Will do. During my conversation with Secretary McCamley, he walked me through some of the reopening guidelines for employees and employees. I would repeat it, but I'm going to let him tell you.
Go to dws.state.nm.us. Let me know when you get there. Yes, I used to be in tech support.
I got you. I am, it's pulling up right now. Bingo.
Roll your mouse over where it says business.
Okay.
And there should be a blue button called COVID-19 you can click on.
Okay. Yeah. So recruitment support information.
Yep. Click on that and then go down to where it says guidance document. It should be the second big button down.
Guidance. Back to work. I see it.
Yes. So if you look through that, you will see all the different things that we're dealing with in terms of guidance for employers. So that's, hey, look, here are the specific requirements we're asking in terms of workplace safety. And actually on the main website that you just clicked from, there should be a link to the governor's big document with the specific guidance for individual retailers. So if you go back to the main website and look right below where it says guidance document, it should be a link to industry specific guidance.
Yep. I see that as well.
Tourism, dentists, childcare. And then the big document actually has, it's like 65 pages. They've got specific information for food processors, retailers, churches, youth camps, the whole shebang.
Okay.
And it's pretty detailed.
All right, y'all, it's about that time for resources. You can find a full list of the resources we talk about on each episode and opportunities to donate or help online at bit.ly/YNMGHub. Read Catherine Lewin's story about the Band-Aid loans. It's from the Santa Fe Reporter. Just head to sfreporter.com and type in the title. The link is also on this show's page at kunm.org. If you have a business or are looking to start one, the people at West can help guide you in that process. Head to west.org for more. That's WESST.org. Head to nmrestaurants.org for more info on the New Mexico Restaurants Association. Hear us this week on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on KUNM's airwaves at 7:30 p.m. Next week, we air at 7 p.m. Same days, different time. As always, you can find this show on KUNM.org or subscribe anywhere, anywhere, anywhere you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, the New Mexico Local News Fund, and KUNM listeners like you. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco, theme music by Pope Yes Yes Y'all. It's produced by yours truly, news update by Marisa DeMarco. Thanks to Nash Jones and Megan Kamrick for their contributions, and special thanks to Kaveh Movahed for the editing help. Welcome back, my friend. And I want to stop and say a special message. Happy, happy, happy birthday to our leader and executive producer, Marisa DeMarco. It is an absolute honor and pleasure to be working with you. I couldn't imagine anything being any different. Happy birthday and enjoy your agenda. And for everyone here at your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening.